Yeah, nothing, none of it's a green light. Let's just say it that way. Yeah, no.
Nothing positive. Hello, Addison.
Wow, you have been waiting for a long time to be able to do that, haven't you?
A little bit. A little bit. I have been. How are you?
I'm good. I am just so excited that Dutton Rules podcast, we're back, baby.
Yeah, our first live episode. We've done video before, but this is live in the flesh. So if you have a comment, you want to be part of it, watch how this works here. I go over to the chat and I look and see at the live stream chat and I see, boom, Johnny, our old friend Johnny. It's appropriate maybe that he's first in. It says, and I'll put him right on the screen. Boom, we are live. There he is. See how that works?
Wow, we actually have a lot of people. I love that you guys are all commenting. Oh, people are saying they missed us. Y'all, I missed y'all.
So we decided to do Landman this season. We wanted to go all in on Landman. We kind of toyed with it a little bit last year, and we thought the audience was there for it, and the interest was there. So we're going to do a full Landman season like you've seen us do before with 1923, 1883, and Yellowstone.
And hopefully Landman cast interviews as well. Nothing on the docket as of right now, but I know last season we did get a few of those. So hoping that that will be in the mix as well.
Yeah, a little bit of a double-edged sword here with the live, because it is live. So if someone's going to be a guest on this show, they got to be able to pair with us at 12 noon on Tuesdays. Now, we still might do some recorded interviews and either find a way to tag that on to the end or tag it into a separate video. Or it could just end up being an audio-only experience, because the podcast will still be on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and those platforms as well.
Landman Season 2 will kick off November 16th, but we thought we would start this episode a little bit as like wetting our palate, reminding y'all of the characters, what went down in season one. I always think it's a good little refresher. You know, sometimes you watch TV series and they remind you what happened in season one. That's essentially what this podcast episode is going to be today. We're reminding you all about season one. So when season two comes around November 16th, you're buckled up, ready to go.
I am, however, going to make at the end of this episode five bold predictions about season two of Landman.
You know, your predictions sometimes are wrong, but you know what they do? They do create a lot of great conversations. So I'm here for it, Billy.
If nothing else, they're interesting.
Yeah, true. So should we actually, before we go down the character list, I do want to remind y'all that yes, with this live, you can comment live in the chat, but also if you have any questions, and eventually we'll introduce trivia again for those who've been longtime listeners in future podcasts, but all that can be sent to staff@tasteofcountry.com, where you can email questions, and we tend to touch on those during like the following episode, podcast episode. So yeah, that email's still alive and well. You can, like I said, go in the chat here, but if you're listening on Spotify or Apple Podcasts after the fact, staff@tasteofcountry.com.
We're certainly going to super serve those audio folks as well. We're going to be able to play some video clips here, but the video clips will have audio. So if you're just listening on some of those platforms, you're not going to miss out too much here if you're not able to get to the YouTube, either the live or the replay, because you'll be able to watch this after the live expires as well.
Let's dive in, Billy. Unless you have anything else you need to get off your chest.
I don't. I mean, how much do you remember about season one of Landman? It has been a good 8 or 9 months, I think, right?
Full transparency, to prepare for this podcast episode, I did go on ChatGPT and specifically ask to give me bullets because I didn't remember a ton. I remembered some key characters. We can't forget Ainsley and Angela. I mean, those were two people that you quite literally cannot forget. So I remembered them in full, especially since I've been seeing random behind the scenes of season two being filmed in Fort Worth. So I do remember them, but I did have to give myself a little bit of a cheat sheet. And man, I forgot that a lot of drama went down. What's new?
I remembered the end, but I forgot how we got there, I guess. Let me ask you this right off the top. Which characters are you most excited to sort of get back into a little bit? Who are you most excited to see again?
Ainsley and Angela, because they're really? Spitfires. I know that we're going to see Ainsley in college. Two characters that I'm going to be honest kind of bored me, but I'm also interested to see them, and we can touch on them when we actually get to them. But Cooper and Ariana, they reminded me, and this is about to be a hot take, they reminded me a little bit of Casey and Monica Dutton, where they were a little sometimes the snooze fest, but also I love their love. I know, yes. I'm saying two things that are kind of contradicting themselves. So I'm excited to see, like, do we get more lovey-dovey from them, or do we kind of just wonder what are they doing here?
Okay, so let's start with Cooper and Ariana. Cooper is, of course, Tommy Norris's son, and he begins working on the patch at the beginning of season one. He immediately encounters tragedy where his whole crew is killed. That sends him to the hospital. One of those crew members ends up being Ariana's husband, and in consoling her, he ends up kind of living with her and dating her, and she kind of... They slowly fall in love. Admittedly, their word is clumsy, which I think is just a perfect word for it.
Yeah.
So Ariana's grieving. Cooper kind of is too, because he had this whole tragedy. He's trying to figure out what he wants to do in life. And they really kind of awkwardly have these moments where they almost kiss, almost sleep together, and then they don't. But then finally, in the end, by the end, we know they're a couple.
I'm not trying to replace him, Ariana.
Yes, you are. And I'm letting you. I'm letting you fill that place in my heart. But to let you in, I need to move him out. Which means saying goodbye. Even though he's already gone, I have to say goodbye in my heart.
That came after a scene where it was pretty emotional. She was in the shower. Mm-hmm. She was trying to hide her tears when Cooper came home. And it ended up being a pretty touching scene. Man, she's a really good actress. I really like her.
I agree with that. It will be interesting to see. I remember season one, there was a little bit of tension between, was it her brothers or her dead husband's friends? I don't remember the relation, yes, of the guy. Oh, which one?
All of the above.
All of the above. Where they were very much so against this relationship with Cooper. Really felt like, oh my gosh, of course. This guy who worked with our brother and friend is now moving in right after he passed. So it will be interesting, which I did understand. But then also I'm like, okay, we can't – like the timing in real life would maybe hit me the wrong way, but this is also a TV series and I can't wait for 6 months to fully get the full development of this relationship. So it will be interesting to see if that kind of comes back into play.
So you're underselling it a little bit by saying there was some tension. They beat the crap out of him and put him in the hospital, and Tommy goes and in return beats the crap out of the attackers and puts them in jail. So yeah, there was a skosh of tension between the two parties, no doubt about it.
Yeah, I was trying not to sound too dramatic, but you're not wrong. You're not wrong.
There was a ton of drama there. So now at the end there with the Cooper's plot line, though, it gets kind of interesting because he actually ends up quitting M-Tech and he's going to go out on his own. And mm-hmm. he's going to sort of parcel together all of these small plots of land, these small wells, in hopes that he can kind of package them and put them together for a larger oil company to come buy it from him. It's a pretty clever idea. He has to convince the landowners and he doesn't have too much trouble, it seems, doing that. So a lot of things going well from a business sense for Cooper as season one ended. How that'll affect Ariana moving forward and where they'll be kind of remains to be seen. And the previews, I'm not going to get into season two too much, but the previews beg the question of where Cooper is getting the money to build these wells from. And I think that might be a source of tension, to use your word.
Thank you for really bringing it full circle. Yeah, it will be interesting to also see, I guess, then the relationship with Cooper and his dad, Tommy. Which, let's touch on Tommy. I mean, we started with Cooper and Ariana, which was on me, but we might need to start with the, like, patriarch of this whole thing.
So Tommy, if you recall, he started and ended this season the same exact way. In a sack. His head was in a burlap bag. And here he is. So this is how he started. Jimenez, the cartel guy, had kidnapped him and was threatening him and torturing him. He ends up escaping that. It's obviously the very first scene of the very first episode, so nobody was afraid he was going to die. But by episode 10, he's back in the sack, courtesy of Jimenez. And this time, Galeno, played by Andy Garcia, comes to his rescue because Galeno knows that they both kind of need to be friends and work together to have all their mutual interests sort of satisfied.
Tommy, the whole season one, I was like, give this man a beer and maybe like a whole 24 hours night's sleep. I mean, this poor guy looked like he was on death's door the whole episode between his business life and then his personal life as Ainsley is, I don't know what word I'm looking for, parading around the home and not a ton of clothing around older men. And he's probably just like, oh my gosh, help.
Yeah. This season, things changed a little bit because if you recall, at the end of last season, his boss, Monty, died. And Monty was the owner and founder of M-Tech. He dies because of a heart attack.
Can I say something? There's a lot
to yeah, go ahead.
Oh, yeah. No. You go ahead and then I'm going to go.
Well, there's just a lot. I think there's more to his death than we understand at this point, and I think it might circle back to why Galeno let Tommy live. I think there's more to that story. I don't think it was as clean. Andy Garcia is going to be a big part of season two, and I think it's because maybe he had more of a relationship with Monty than we knew about.
That's what I'm wondering. I'm like, I think Monty's death is going to uproot secrets that he never shared that will end up causing a lot of trouble. But what I was going to say is, as much as I didn't love his character, oh, that scene that you just played of him dying in the hospital and his daughters around him and his wife by him, oh, Billy, that wrecked me.
The Tommy, of course, early on starts to rekindle things with his wife. And This is the very first time we meet Angela Norris, who's clearly still has a thing for Tommy. And if you remember, we only saw her through the lens of Tommy's phone at first.
Yes.
Call Monty Miller. Well, it looks like it's going to be Monday all day today.
Actually, it won't be Monday once today, Tommy. It's Friday.
It can't be Friday. I just got here yesterday.
March 1st, you switched to a Friday through Tuesday. Look at me, you would see the calendar.
She's holding up his calendar.
Still married.
Well, I'm going down the highway at 80 miles an hour. If I looked at you, I'd probably die.
Yeah.
Holding it up for traffic. That's what I should do. Next time someone's trying to FaceTime.
That is how we meet Angela, who informs Tommy that his daughter is coming to stay with him for the weekend. And then we soon after meet Ainsley.
Well, before you get to Ainsley, I don't think I realized until we just saw that clip, and maybe I just wasn't paying attention the first time around. I didn't realize that Angela had written down Tommy's schedule in her planner. Miss Woman is organized, and some odd reason she doesn't scream organized. She screams bull in a china shop, but okay.
I agree. I mean, obviously, as the season progresses, it becomes pretty clear that they have a relationship that needs to be rekindled. And unfortunately, she's married, but that situation kind of takes care of itself before the end of season one. And we never actually meet her actual husband, whose name is... starts with a V. Vernon? Vince? Vincent? Vincent, maybe?
Dude, I don't know.
Who knows?
Ooh, I mean, not to tangent real quick, but I like your cup. It's one of our... using one of our Taste of Country mugs?
Oh, this is a natural plug. Yeah, tasteofcountrystore.com. I like this.
That was not an intentional plug. I just noticed. I have a Yeti, but it is not Taste of Country.
Obviously, we're not that organized when it comes to
All right, let's go to Ainsley because I am so excited. Billy, I'm going to be honest. If they film season three and it's in Fort Worth again, like I'm taking off of work and I'm going to be I want to be an extra. I say this because I've been seeing all over social media that I think come season two, and I won't give any more after this, but I think season two we are going to see Ainsley going to college at TCU. I mean, that's literally been all over the internet of them filming on the campus of TCU. And I think what's interesting about this show is I feel like a lot of times TV shows will film, let's say, on a TCU campus, but they won't use the actual university's name. They'll call it something else. Or if it's a sorority, they'll call it something else. I mean, they've referenced Texas Tech. Cooper has worn Texas Tech merchandise. So do you think Taylor Sheridan has to go to these universities and say, hey, can we use your signage and here's a paycheck?
Generally, there's an agreement that has to be worked out. I don't think they can just use any institution they want. And that's how it is with businesses as well. If you want to use a Walmart as a mm-hmm. place, you probably need to get Walmart's permission. So, yeah, they got to get Texas TCU's. And TCU's a private academy. I mean, it's great promotion for them as long as there's not like they're not showing like a TCU professor getting involved in a big scandal. It's really good promotion for the college, wouldn't you think? So he might not have to pay anything, but yeah, there has to be sort of a handshake of sorts there. Yeah. No doubt about it.
Well, let's go to Ainsley season one. We see her just really trying to, I feel like, come into her own. She's this little rebellious girl, but I think it's because she's, what, a senior in high school? If she's going to go to college season two. And she's just trying to figure out, like, what does adulthood look like? Also living in a house of, like, three guys. She's trying to live her own life, but it's like, you can't. And we see her finding love. All the
Here she is. And one of my favorite sequences is her and Nate, who is Tommy's lawyer that he lives with, the older guy. Yeah. And this is the source of a lot of uncomfortable sort of drama and comedy throughout the series, like this scene. It also involves Rebecca, a lawyer that we'll talk to in a minute. We'll talk about in a moment.
Hi, Rebecca.
Still spring breaking?
Yeah. Are y'all working?
She's We're saying that because done. She's in a bikini.
Yeah.
Not on me.
Oh, well, you can borrow one of mine.
I feel like she's going to hop in the pool.
I've got a lot of work waiting for me back at the hotel, so...
Right, yeah.
Dang it.
I know, right? Do y'all want some popcorn?
Popcorn?
I love how naive she is.
Thank you.
That look right there from Nathan.
No, thanks.
It's only 30 calories a cup.
Stop.
Still.
Oh my gosh, that is good.
That is good. I forgot about that. They're just kind of looking at her like, is this, are you real? Like, are you really, huh?
And you have to at least recognize the uncomfortable position Nathan's in, because there's this beautiful woman in a bikini standing in front of you, but also she's 17 and your boss's daughter. So it's like, that's... weird. I don't know what to do with this.
Yeah, nothing. None of it's a green light. Let's just say it that way. Yeah, no.
Nothing positive. And she does that again and again. But to your point about Ainsley overall, she is finding her path. I thought she was pretty separate mm-hmm. from the whole main plot lines in season one. Her and Angela were very much sort of color to the season, made it interesting 100%. And entertaining and often humorous. She does sort of have some heartfelt moments and some moments of humility as the season progresses, so we do get to see that growth. I kind of expect more of the same with her with season two. I don't think she's necessarily going to be involved with Tommy's business or even what Cooper's trying to do.
I agree. I feel like she, and I say this because I always joke that I'm the personality hire, she's the personality hire. Like, she's the one to bring, like, kind of like...
I just heard what you said. That's the saddest thing, that like, saddest little...
No, I meant it in a positive way. I love it. I'm like,
all right.
No, I just mean like she's here to bring some like fun. She's not moving major plot. She's not dealing with the cartel. I'm more so meant it. Look, I'm the spring chicken of the office. I fully wear that with a badge of honor, and I'm here to bring the youth. That's what I meant by it.
Who was the equivalent on Yellowstone? Who is the personality hire on Yellowstone? I'm not sure there was
one. Oh, Teeter.
Yes.
She's not moving any plots, but she's there for a good time.
I would agree. That's a good call.
Teeter. Yep,
Teeter and Hassie Harrison's character as well.
Yeah, she was a little less important. Yeah. Or not less important, you know what I mean.
Yeah, she was. Okay, so good points there. Yes, Addison, you in the back.
Okay, thank you. I'm raising my hand. For those who are listening to audio. Okay, we can't, though, talk about Ainsley without talking about a character that we really, like, media at large, like, kind of wrote about this, and then we never touched on it, and then I kind of marinated on it more, and I'm like, wait, why didn't this become a bigger deal? Audrey McGraw, hello! Tim McGraw's daughter was the next-door neighbor to Tommy, and Ainsley, and remind me of Audrey's character's name. Forgetting it.
Well, you know, let's make that a challenge for the chat. If you remember Audrey McGraw's character's name, feel free to drop it in the chat, as well as any other questions. And that's kind of a long way of saying I don't know. But perhaps, Addison, they reveal that in this clip I'm about to play.
Oh.
That is my absolute favorite song. I'm Shelby.
Ainsley Norris.
Shelby.
Shelby.
Well, heard about me, how?
Well, the boys are all drooling over you at the country club.
Yeah, my mom sort of wore out a welcome over there.
I heard that too.
Also, I'm gonna point something out. Are you laughing? Yeah,
I am. Go ahead.
Okay, I'm going to point something out. I'm from Texas, and I've never been to Midland, but I've heard enough about it. I'm sorry, you're not laying out in Midland, Texas without dirt being covered on you in this amount of wind that's blowing in her hair, and you're not sweating. So I would like to say that this is not an accurate depiction of what Midland, Texas is like. But anyways, Audrey McGraw, yeah, casually has a solid little cameo there, and no one really talked about it.
You buying that accent?
Do you mean it's not her actual voice? Is that what you're trying to tell me?
It's not her actual voice. And is
it's
how
giving
people
me a little
in West Texas talk?
No. No. Yeah. It's giving not a little either. Like Louisiana or Mississippi. Mississippi. That's what
it's giving me.
Giving
me a little Scarlett O'Hara is what it's giving me.
Gone
like,
with the
wind.
It's
not my favorite thing. So... So Audrey is involved in two episodes. She's part of that. And then episode 7 as well, where they go to that party on the patch. And that leads to Ainsley eventually meeting her new boyfriend, which is...
Cutie patootie boyfriend.
Who is, I think, 32 in real life or something like that. Like,
you're telling me I have a chance, Billy.
I think he's your age, Addison, is all I'm saying. Miss Fairness, Michelle Randolph is like 29. So
I was about to say, she's actually not. I'm 30. I think she's quite, yeah, literally a year behind me.
Yeah, they're much, much older than they play, which I think if you really, I mean, high schoolers don't look like they look, I don't think.
They do nowadays, but for this purpose, yeah, no. Anyways, I digress. Wait, should we talk about, you kind of teed this one up well. Should we talk about Ainsley's boyfriend?
So he becomes a big factor late in the season because the relationship starts to be serious. But about midway through the season, Angela and Ainsley get this idea to go entertain people at the old folks' home. And they bring them games and booze, and they take them bowling. And eventually, they take them to the strip club. Because why wouldn't you take a whole bunch of 80- and 90-year-olds to the strip club?
Who have heart problems.
Who have heart problems. Which, spoiler alert, one of my 5 predictions for season 2 that I'm going to get to kind of taps right back into this conversation right here.
Interesting. I'm so intrigued how this is going to come full circle again. Okay.
Well, Ainsley convinces her boyfriend that he needs to strip in front of the one old woman who's not having a very good time because it's a bunch of women walking around and she's looking for a man in front of her. Now, keep in mind the boyfriend's supposed to be 17 years old, so yeah, you kind of have to get past that uncomfort. I'm not going to show the full scene. I don't even think there's much nudity. I've done my best to edit out a lot of the swearing and stuff in these clips. But this is the boyfriend, whose name I also cannot recall, preparing to dance. And we see a familiar face in this scene.
First time can be pretty nerve-wracking, but after that it can be really fun. We should do a shot of vodka, loosen the nerves.
It's 11 in the morning. I have football practice.
How old are you?
Does it matter?
State of Texas is pretty picky about it.
Hi. Any champagne? It's your time to shine.
It's only 20 minutes before their nap, so it won't be long.
I like that. She's just unfazed.
Only 20 minutes before their nap. I love that part. That other dancer in the room, by the way, is the woman from Eric Church's Chief video.
Stop. I didn't know that.
Yep, she's the actress at the start of the video that talks about it all. Good little cameo there. Cool. Yeah, she put together a little bit of an acting career, as it turns out. So he goes through with it, and he gets his reward, which is a little bit X-rated. And as far as we know, the relationship is blossoming.
Yeah, but is it blossoming enough that we're going to see it in season two? I don't know. Unless they both go to college together.
I think he comes back.
Oh, okay.
I mean, yeah, if nothing else, for
don't tempt me with a good time. I'm not upset about that. I just didn't know if that was going to be a relationship we were going to see in season two.
I don't think I don't think he's marriage material, but I think we'll see him. I think we'll see him again.
Let's talk about Rebecca Falcon. Is that how you pronounce her last name?
Yeah, she is the lawyer for MTech, and as season two ends, she gets a pretty big promotion in the legal department and comes on full-time. Actually, initially, she's an outsourced lawyer. They bring her in to fight a specific crime, but then they hire her full stop. And as I sort of put together clips and started to watch season two or season one again, she becomes one of my favorite characters. Really good actress. The scenes she's in are often dramatic. And then so there's two sort of, I'm going to play two clips here, and they show the different sides of Rebecca, because she's not from Texas. She's not used to necessarily some of the wildlife in Texas.
Yes!
Well, don't touch it.
I don't know what to do. What do I do? Can I walk away?
That'd be at the top of my list, yeah.
Oh, my God!
It's also rattlesnake for those who are listening.
I don't understand why you're not moving. God damn it.
All right, now we have Tommy. He's approaching the snake, and as it's about ready to strike, he comes down with a big shovel, slices his head off. There it is.
That's how you take care of business in Texas.
So, she is afraid of snakes. What she is not afraid of is sexist lawyers.
Have a seat.
I'm fine.
Listen, hon, we were playing the pissed-off litigator while you were still being bathed by your daddy.
My father died before I was born. Defending your right to say offensive and sexist remarks like the ones you just uttered here in front of six witnesses, all of whom are attorneys and three of whom are women. So if this is how you talk to a woman in front of a court reporter, I wonder what interesting tales they have to tell about those late night discovery sessions.
Let's just take the temperature down a notch.
Take the temperature down? We are not the ones who are seeking depositions. Let me point the facts of this case out to you, all right?
Cop off,
your
queen.
Driver.
Yeah.
Used a private road owned and constructed by my client without
this
permission.
This speech right here, it's like 3 to 4 minutes long. And it is many times better than you remember it. Like, she has her moment here where she goes off and gets everything she wants, and then she admits to Tommy on the way out the door, oh, my Tommy didn't really die. My father didn't really die. I just said that to kind of make my point. And it makes it all even better. I mean, just tremendous.
If I remember correctly, season one ended with us thinking that maybe she had grown a little bit more fondly towards Tommy. And I'm kind of – it'll be interesting to see if in season two she's friend or foe.
Well, they're working together now. They're working on the same team now. So I think she will be friend, but maybe still suspicious, because she's not huge on the oil industry at all, right? I mean, that whole snake scene came after the windmill scene, which she was trying to defend windmills as clean energy. So I think they will be friendly, or at least allies to a certain extent, as much as their positions allow them to be. If you have a question at this point now, if you have a question, you want to drop a question, we can answer some questions towards the end of the episode here. We're going to get into some predictions for season two here in just a bit, as well as talk just a second about what Taylor Sheridan has going on in his private life. He's made the move to NBC Universal. A little bit about how that is going to affect Landman, but some of these other Taylor Sheridan shows will come up in a second.
Some odd reason, when you said we have some info about Taylor Sheridan's private life, I'm like, oh, have you talked to him on the phone recently, Billy?
All right, we didn't get a chance to play this scene, but I pulled it, and I just love it, so can I?
Okay, go right ahead.
Lord, thank you for this day.
And thank you. This is Angela blessing her first dinner. They're about to eat Bolognese.
Neil.
Nathan. Nate.
Shit. Sorry, Nathan. Nathan. God. Of course you know his name because you're God, but I know it. I know it now.
I love her.
For this food, which looks damn good, if I do say so myself. I found a butcher that imports wild boar from Italy, if you can believe it. If you're going to make a bolognese, it is by far the best to use wild boar and not just ground pork.
Honestly, she prays like my mom. My mom will start and she'll be like, Lord, I pray over Addison for her safety and that she brings, that you bring someone into her life. Well, I would prefer him to be blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, okay, are we still praying? What's happening here?
At the end of it, Nathan goes, that's the first time I've ever heard blasphemy in a prayer.
That was funny. I got the but thank you for this food. I bought it from a butcher down on blah, 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 blah. I love her.
Okay, so that's essentially all of the characters. And we've outlined a number of the plot lines. Season 2 ends, as we said, with Monty Miller dying. His wife is set to take over the company. And then Tommy is going to be in charge, but we'll see the degree to which he's in charge. Yes, Addison in the back with her hands up.
I know, I keep raising my hand. The only person that we didn't really touch on, you just did right then, but is Cammy, Monty's wife.
Oh, yeah, I guess we didn't.
She doesn't really – we've kind of talked about that we thought – oh, my gosh, why am I forgetting the actress's name? Hello, she's a huge star.
Demi Moore.
Thank you, Demi Moore.
G.I. Jane.
Or Friends. But Demi – wait, Friends? Yes, she wasn't. Wait, she wasn't.
You're thinking of Courtney Cox.
Yes, I am. And I'm just going to keep talking. So we did not notice that. We kind of had wondered season one. We're like, man, for as big of an actress she is, I'm kind of confused why she doesn't have more screen time. Then once Monty died, we kind of a light bulb went off on all of our heads of, oh, because she's going to become pretty pivotal in season two.
She is. She's a bit of a wallflower in season one, but the previews, the trailers for season two indicate that she is going to try to take charge of this company, and she's not sitting on the sidelines any longer. And in fact, might be really aggressive about some plans she has with the oil company. So that'll be good. I mean, the cast for season two is shaping up to be great. You got Demi Moore, Andy Garcia, Sam Elliott, and that's in addition to all the other casts that we have coming back from season one. So the acting is going to be solid. Taylor Sheridan's season two track record is good, but not perfect. Yellowstone was very good. Tulsa King was not. 1923 was not as good as season one of 1923. So I think I am a little bit worried about a drop off in quality, but the structure is there and the cast is there for this to be another great season.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see if we feel like he kind of strings episodes out too much. I think we felt that way. Marsh, what show did we just finish? Did we just finish 1923? And by just finish, I'd not. Yeah, where it was one of those where like, all right, I think we could have finished this season three episodes ago.
100%. That was the problem with 1923. So that I do think it's going to be a strong season, though. That said, that's not one of my five predictions. I'm not sure if you're ready to get to those at this point or not.
I would love to get to those. Oh, actually, no. First, I'm going to remind people that staff@tasteofcountry.com is where you can leave your questions, your comments, and then your. I would love those in the chat, but then also who are listening. staff@tasteofcountry.com to if you're listening. But what are your five predictions for season two? Billy's going to share his, but I also would love to poll y'all.
Yeah, I agree. Best predictions. Let's have a little contest there, and we'll read some of them next week. I think that'll be appropriate. Because next week, we're going to really dive into season two, right? This is a little bit of a starter episode. Next week, we'll really get into breaking down what we know from the trailers and from some other editorial and things we've learned throughout just sort of the build-up to the second season.
Okay, Billy, what's your five? What are your five predictions? Hit me.
Prediction number one, Ethel will die.
Who the heck is Ethel?
The old woman, our favorite old woman at the old folks' home. The one Billy, who he dances for.
This is you. This is like, you pull the most rogue, and I love this. This is not a dig at you. You pull the most random things out that I'm like, I don't remember this character. Okay, I love, like, Lugnut Boy. Okay, you think, but what, okay, let me collect myself. Great that you think, not great, but okay that you think Ethel's going to die. But why Ethel dying is going to be a massive like plot point? Or you're not saying it is.
I didn't say they're massive predictions. I just said they were predictions, Addison.
Okay.
But think about it. She is like kind of the main one of the characters at the old folks home. She has the most lines. She's starting to grow close with Ainsley and Angela. I think there'll be a little bit of a heartbreak there that will humble Ainsley and make her see that life is finite. So I think that will be an important thing.
Okay.
All right. The second one. Here. And I hate that I'm saying this. Ainsley gets kidnapped.
I could see that one. It's giving, she goes off to college, is a little naive, and yeah, she's not aware of stranger danger. She gets in a car she's not supposed to. I could see that one. That's happening. By the cartel.
Yep. This is how you know season two isn't as good as season one, is if Ainsley gets kidnapped, because it is super cliche, right? Like, it's so cliche that I thought of it, someone who's never written a TV show in my life. Like, it just feels like it's inevitable. It happens in every drama eventually. So I think Ainsley getting kidnapped is a prediction I don't want to see happen, but I think will happen.
Okay, third one.
Number three, Sam Elliott. He's one and done. One season and done. He will not be back for season number three.
Oh, for sure. I agree with that one. He's there. Yeah. I'm trying to think of other examples in the Yellowstone franchise that we just see them for a minute.
Well, I can name one. Sam Elliott in 1883, one and done. Like, I think he'll go that way. I think Sam Elliott's character will die at the end of this season.
I do too. I think it'll probably just be more so to shape Tommy as a character.
Yeah, and then we'll bring in another actor. I'm not sure that anybody's giving Sam Elliott any long-term contracts either. I mean, he's getting up there in years. You're not giving him a 10-year deal.
Gosh, Billy, he's not that old. Harrison Ford, I think, is old. Well,
yeah. I agree. I wouldn't give Harrison Ford a long-term deal. How old do you think Sam Elliott is?
I think Sam Elliott is I'm terrible with ages. I think Sam Elliott is 79 years old.
Close. He's 81 years old.
He's 81. Okay. He's young. He's young.
Yeah. Okay.
Move on. What's prediction number four?
Number four, I guess I already talked about. Season two will be more like Yellowstone and less like Tulsa King in terms of quality. And then my fifth prediction, which is sort of central to the plot, Tommy will have a new job by the end of season one. And this could go a lot of different ways. The company could get sold. It could go bankrupt. Tommy could quit. He could get fired. He could start his own company. He could be working for Cooper. Like, I feel like there's just a lot of ways that at the end of the season, Tommy will not be an M-Tech employee in any sense.
That might be why Cooper is doing what Cooper is doing, to, like, help us close a circle that we don't know.
And I said from the get-go with the show, like, that relationship is the heart of the show. The Tommy-Cooper relationship is what this show's about. It's the father and son relationship, so... I don't know if they're going to get father and son and have like their own oil company, but that is one way I guess it could go. Tommy could be the landman for Cooper's oil business, which would be an interesting season three, right? I feel like maybe if we get there to season three. Is season three confirmed?
I don't think so, but that kind of sounds boring to me.
Yeah, it doesn't sound great.
I need to remember deeper into this conversation, but I went on a Bachelorette somewhat recently, and it's all my friends from Texas, or gals who we all went to Texas A&M together. And one of the girls, she actually lives in Midland, and she was saying that it is very interesting to watch Landman and how it's so not on par of what living in Midland and in the oil field is actually like. But I couldn't remember her why, but that is interesting.
Well, I think it's because we only see like the glitz of Midland, right? We live it through the Norris's eyes, and they're very wealthy, so they live a country club lifestyle. But in reality, a lot of people are probably working on the patch, so it's a little bit more of a normal blue-collar, middle-class lifestyle.
But I think there is some like wealth politics that are involved, because she was saying that most people ask, like, what country club are you involved in and all that. And I guess I just didn't – I think of Midland in the middle of nowhere. I dated a guy from Midland.
You did?
This is not a me podcast. Let's keep going.
How'd that go?
Well, I'm single, so.
So I mentioned if there is a season three, season three has not been confirmed. There's likely going to be a season three. And here's kind of the good news, bad news with regards to that. Taylor Sheridan is moving on from Paramount Plus to NBC Universal. He signed a movie deal with NBC that starts next year, but his TV contract with NBC Universal doesn't start until 2029. So that means there's a good 3 more years that all Taylor Sheridan TV shows that he writes have to be for Paramount. So I think Landman is safe in that sense, the degree to which his heart is in it, given that he's kind of a somewhat short timer, I guess, remains to be seen. But even after Taylor Sheridan leaves Paramount, all of his shows are Paramount property, so someone else could swoop in and write Landman, write any sort of Yellowstone prequel that comes up afterwards. Tulsa King, all those shows are kind of safe. They just won't have Taylor Sheridan's touch, necessarily.
Gosh, as a creator, that would tick me off if someone took my school project and then added to it. And I'm like, that's not how I wanted that to go, which that's his choice, and he's leaving. So it's like, well,
I'd be okay with it. Like, if one of us left the Dutton Rules podcast, we just swap someone else out in there and
see that feels personal.
Forward.
Feels personal. Maybe I shouldn't.
We're all disposable, Addison. We're just train cars.
No. Stab at tasteofcountry.com so I can pivot this conversation is where you can leave your predictions. Natalie agrees that definitely there's always politics even in small towns. True. True, true.
Next week, we're going to have trivia, which will be I'll have a good prize for that. And we're going to zoom right in on season 2 of Landman, which starts on the 16th. And then once the show starts, we'll be back with our usual sort of episode breakdowns, as we've done. And if you're new to this podcast, you know we really kind of get into the nitty-gritty. We love the conspiracy theories. We have a really positive conversation here. We don't hate on anybody's theory. Well, except for my own. Sometimes we hate on mine, which is, I understand. I'm the host. I put myself up.
But that's different. We can play. We can be playful with each other. You know, we can take it.
Yeah, this is a sort of a safe space for the crazy television theories, if you will. And we appreciate you being part of that.
And I feel like people have felt comfortable, and I mean this in a great way, of kind of not calling us out necessarily, but I know during our Yellowstone time and we were getting some horse terminology wrong and people kindly said, hey, that's not it. Hey, we are the first to be like, absolutely, like, tell us. We want to be knowledgeable. We want to be a place that we can kind of get back on tracks when we don't even mean to get off them.
I recall not knowing the difference between a wolf and a coyote last year during Landman, and people.
You and I had a full conversation on that. I do also remember that.
So this is exciting. A little change. We have a slightly modified name for our podcast now, and I'm excited to hear if Addison can recall what it is in one take. With no stumbles, no pressure.
Okay. For those who are not new to the podcast, you know that occasionally, by occasionally, I mean like probably every other podcast, I really struggled with it. Well, one, because I always try to find a fun new way to describe our podcast before I give the actual title name. Well, I got way too in the weeds of what name to actually, or like how to describe our podcast. By the end, I just was like, what podcast are we doing? But don't worry, because today I've remembered our new podcast name. The Dutton Rules Yellowstone Franchise Podcast is another amazing Town Square Media podcast.
Gosh, saying it like the pro she is. Atta girl.
Giving myself a round of applause.
Johnny, Natalie, Sharon, and everybody watching on YouTube and everybody at home, thank you very much.
Bye, y'all.